This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
A military exercise in Mississippi leaving 22 U.S. Army paratroopers injured. An Army official at Camp Shelby says they don't know what went wrong during that nighttime jump. The good news is none of the injuries are regarded as life-threatening. At least 17 people in America have now died from severe lung illnesses linked to vaping. The CDC says there are also over 800 other lung injury cases tied to vaping, and the Health and Human Services Chief Alex Azar says,
"You do not know what toxins you are vaporizing and putting in your lungs. Listen, as a general health matter, don't put stuff in your lungs. It's not good for you."
First-time claims for jobless benefits last week hit 219,000. Approximately up around 4,000 from the previous week's revised total. This is USA Radio News.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-460-1663. That's 1-800-460-1663. Again, 1-800-460-1663.
There were multiple fatalities after a World War II-era B-17 bomber crashed in an airport de-icing facility while trying to land at Connecticut's Bradley Airport. Airport Authority head Kevin Dillon.
The tower was advised that there was an issue with the aircraft. We don't know exactly how that was relayed, whether it was relayed as a mechanical issue, but that there was an issue with the aircraft. It attempted to circle around.
The Dallas jury that convicted former officer Amber Geiger of murder in the fatal shooting of an unarmed man, Botham John, in his home, has sentenced her to 10 years in prison. John's brother took the stand after sentencing and requested to embrace Geiger.
I don't know if this is possible, but can I give her a hug, please?
The judge allowed it, and the two hugged. Dallas County District Attorney John Crusoe asked those upset with the verdict to be inspired by the 18-year-old.
I would hope that the greater community could gain a message.
Activists are saying she should have got a steeper sentence. You're listening to USA Radio News.
America's built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Ignite your liberty. Sharing plans starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple. And no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To learn how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
The European Union's top court has ruled that an individual nation can make Facebook take down posts and restrict global access to materials. The European Court of Justice making the decision after a former Austrian politician wanted negative comments about her taken down from someone's personal page. Critics say this could limit free expression and be abused by people wanting to censor critical material. Supporters say that it will make Facebook and other social media platforms fight harder to eliminate hate speech and personal attacks. Nearly a year after a limousine crash that killed 20 people in Schoharie, New York, federal investigators have released a new report on the tragedy saying some of the passengers might have survived had they been wearing seat belts. Most of the belts in the 2006 Ford Excursion were under the seats, not visible to passengers. The NTSB now recommending the state make it mandatory that all motor vehicle passengers wear seat belts. And actor Robert De Niro is now named in a lawsuit filed by a former assistant claiming that the A-lister made sexually charged comments towards her. TMZ is reporting the assistant claims that she was given stereotypical female duties and is also suing De Niro for gender discrimination. She was sued by De Niro back in August after the actor claimed she watched 55 episodes of Friends while on the clock during a four-day period. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's
going on. Hey, we're back with you, America. 6 minutes after the top of the hour, Robert Mann is going to be joining us, a professor and manship chair in journalism at Louisiana State University, a well-known author of two books exploring aspects of the 1964 presidential election. Our focus is his brand-new book, Becoming Ronald Reagan, The Rise of a Conservative Icon, quoted and revered as the idealistic patron saint of the Republican Party, social conservatism, and a limited government platform. Ronald Reagan had set the bar for all other conservatives to rise to. But there's more to the history and uprising of the 40th president rarely discussed. What happened in the 50s and 60s to propel him to the highest seat in the U.S. government? How do you have a liberal actor reflecting the roots of Hollywood turning conservative? Professor, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us, sir.
Thanks, Bill. Great to be with you today.
Well, this is awesome. I love that you go back and take a look at the genesis and the development of this conservative icon, Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, it's a part of his life that gets a chapter or two in most biographies, but I think it deserves a book. It's really a fascinating part of his life that just many people don't understand, and especially given the fact that he was a Hollywood liberal who became a conservative and the leader of the conservative movement. It's worth, I think, exploring, and it was really revealing to me. I learned a lot about Reagan that I did not know.
Well, there's nothing like experience to help that transition, moving from a liberal to a conservative, as they say. In the 60s, you write, transitioning from acting to politics was rare. Ronald Reagan was not the first to do it, but he was the first to, really jump. I mean, when you think about the short period of time when he made this move and this jump into politics, I mean, he was on a fast track.
Yeah, he really was, and that's the story of this book. I started out wanting to write a book about Reagan's famous speech for Barry Goldwater, nationally televised speech in October of 1964, which he made, I think, and many people, most people at the time, saw it as the best argument for Goldwater's candidacy, including the arguments that Goldwater himself had made. And this guy, Reagan, who everybody knew as an actor, and at that time really a washed-up actor, suddenly he just bursts upon the national political scene with this fully formed message, really, just an amazing lightning bolt of political talent, and people were scratching their heads, where did this guy come from?
Exactly.
And so the book to me is about, where, how did he get to that point? How did he become this fully formed political, this eloquent, fully formed political human being. It didn't happen overnight. You have to look at what was going on in the 50s to really understand Reagan in 1964, 65, 66 when he was entering politics.
Exactly. Well, that was my question. How did he? Let's go back. Let's look. What happened in the 50s? What was going on?
Well, you know, he lost his acting career. And at least his movie acting career, he could not get any good movies. He could not get any good roles. And in desperation, he takes a job as the host of General Electric Theater, which was a television show that aired on Sunday nights. It was a 30-minute dramatic series. He becomes the host of it and acts in occasional episodes of it. And as part of the deal, Reagan is asked to be a goodwill ambassador for the company and travel around to visit all of the 135 General Electric factories and manufacturing plants around the country. And in that process of over 8 years of being a goodwill ambassador for the company, he meets a lot of people. He starts giving speeches, and then he starts giving speeches to while he's in these little small towns. He starts giving speeches to civic clubs and chambers of commerce. And what was going on, unnoticed by most national reporters, was that here was a guy who was talking about politics, learning the craft of talking about politics, learning the craft of speaking to an audience and persuading and moving an audience. And it's Reagan's minor league years. It's Reagan's preparation for the big leagues of politics that he enters in 1965 and 66 when he begins running for governor.
It's like instead of Mr. Smith going to Washington, it's Mr. Reagan going to Main Street.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the thing about Reagan was that he was an actor, and a much better actor than I think a lot of people give him credit for being. But the skill he really had was not so much as playing a politician, but because he was an actor, he could memorize lines, and he actually had a photographic memory, which a lot of people don't have. And so when he was talking to these audiences, he was not speaking from a prepared text that he was reading off a piece of paper, and it was most of the time that his eyes were on the lectern and not looking at the audience. He was able to look at his audiences, look the people he was talking to in the eye, and adjust what he was saying as he went along. So if a line didn't work, if a story didn't resonate, if something fell flat, he threw it out and he added something else. He observed his audience in a way that a lot of people don't, because they're looking at the paper, not the people in the seats. And over the course of 8 years, he refined that speech. He refined that speaking style, that persuasive speaking style, that eloquent speaking style that everybody suddenly saw in 1964. He'd been working on that for years and years and years. He did the work. He did the preparation.
Right. Professor, I would say that his radio background helped to do that a long way, because when you are talking through a microphone and you're not having a direct interaction, you understand the theater of the mind. You understand that, you know, there is a demand to be relatable and to connect. And I believe that if you look back into his radio career, you might see that as being part of the genesis, because his ability to relate to people and connect, his charm factor was huge and underrated.
Oh, you know, you nail it right there. And I devoted an entire chapter in the book to this recording that Reagan made on behalf of the American Medical Association in 1960 that played all around the country. And it was the argument against what we now know as Medicare. Mm-hmm. But the reason it was so effective, reason Reagan's words were so effective, I think, is because he was talking to them in a radio voice, which, you know, either the radio or maybe even the podcast voice that we would know today, where it's a very intimate style of talking. It didn't sound like he was giving a speech. It sounded like he was entering a conversation. And that, you're absolutely right, that was because of his training in radio.
So he makes this transition. He is the spokesperson for the General Electric Theater. Was that the proper name of it? Was it
the show was General Electric Theater. Yep.
Right. And so that didn't hurt either. You know, getting, you know, that kind of exposure, because whether it's politics or anything else, you know, it comes down to familiarity. And name recognition, and this all served as a basis of it. And in a sense, I mean, when you see him going into these small towns, I mean, he's like doing town halls before there were town halls.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, so suddenly General Electric Theater is the, he took it over in the second year, one of the most popular shows on television. So suddenly he's a star again, a very recognizable, maybe even more recognizable to people than the movies, because more people were seeing him. 10, 15 million people a week were seeing him on their television sets.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that GE did that I think that made Reagan the conservative that he was is that Reagan started imbibing the conservative philosophy of General Electric. He wanted to learn about the company's philosophy. He wanted to be the goodwill ambassador they hired him to be and be an effective spokesman for him. So GE and its philosophy, which was very anti-union at the time,
mm-hmm.
I think pulled him into another realm that he had not been exposed to.
Well, we've got to go to break, and we'll pick it up from there. More from Professor Robert Mann and Ronald Reagan right here. Stay with us.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Join me, George Norrie, at the Health Freedom Expo October 25th and 26th in Tinley Park near Chicago. The Health Freedom Expo is an incredible weekend exploring the latest in natural and alternative medicine with more than 100 lectures, workshops, and exhibits. Meet leading experts including Patch Adams, Lisa Oz, Ocean Robbins, Doc Wallach, Aaron Elizabeth, and so many more. Plus, I'll host a luncheon and discussion on natural healing breakthroughs. The Health Freedom Expo can help you learn to achieve a naturally vibrant and healthy life. Join us to explore how you can take your wellness into your own hands and meet others who are doing the same thing. Get your tickets today at TrinityHealthFreedomExpo.com. That's TrinityHealthFreedomExpo.com or call 1-888-658-3976. That's 1-888-658-3976. TrinityHealthExpo.com or 1-888-658-3976.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@GCNlive.com.
This report is sponsored by the NICB. American property and casualty insurance companies are being robbed to the tune of $40 billion a year. According to the FBI, fraud is the culprit. And these criminals are not just stealing from insurers, they're stealing from everyday Americans. That is, until now, the nation's property and casualty insurers have made significant fraud-fighting investments within their companies, such as creating special investigative units. These units investigate suspicious insurance claims and work with law enforcement agencies and the National Insurance Crime Bureau, or NICB, to track down insurance criminals. NICB Public Affairs Director Frank Scafidi.
These criminals will stop at nothing to commit fraud, from staging auto accidents to roofing and towing scams, even workers' compensation slip and falls. Think of your family, your coworkers, your neighbors. All are potential victims. NICB works with special investigative units to keep you and the ones you love most safe.
Find out how you can protect yourself at NICB.org.
Looking for high-speed internet where you live but are out of reach of cable and fiber options? Look no further. High-speed internet is now available in your area. As your local authorized HughesNet retailer, Whole Home Connect makes it easy to get the high-speed internet you need with blazing fast speeds, unlimited data with no hard data limits, with built-in Wi-Fi for as little as $2 a day. Act now and for a limited time, get free standard installation and free equipment with HughesNet from Whole Home Connect. You'll enjoy internet service that lets you do more of everything you want to do online, like shopping, surfing, and staying in touch. Call Whole Home Connect and see for yourself why HughesNet is America's number one choice for satellite internet.
800-696-6902. 800-696-6902. 800-696-6902. That's 800-696-6902.
Ben Martinez.
His reputation is expanding faster than the universe. He once had an awkward moment just to see how it feels. He lives vicariously through himself. He is the most interesting man in the world.
Stay listening, my friend. Phil Martinez Live.
Hey, we're back with you, fresh and independent, just the way you like to hear from us 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. No fake news here, no 8-second sound bites. This is why we're blessed, and I really mean this in so many ways, to be able to speak with the experts like Professor Robert Mann, to be able to drill deep as much as possible, because, you know, if you were on television, they might give you about 3-5 minutes maybe to talk about your book, and that's a tough deal, especially when you're talking about an iconic, a conservative iconic figure like Ronald Reagan, right?
Oh, absolutely. I really do appreciate the opportunity to say more than 3 sentences about the book.
Exactly. Well, then we get to talk about some of this nuanced stuff, get to talk about, you know, hey, radio and his, you know, what happened in his radio days. So here we are. He's transitioning. He is he's part of the Hollywood crowd. I mean, after all, I mean, he was ahead of the Actors Guild, ahead of Screen Actors Guild. And so, yes, very much a liberal. I mean, because if he was anything less than a liberal, he wouldn't be invited to those Hollywood cocktail parties that are so important.
Yeah, I think there's several markers in his career where he began to gravitate away from his liberalism, and one of them was when he married Nancy, and she began to they began to have a different social a circle, and those included not just Hollywood actors but a lot of business people who I think provided him a different view of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was really the loss of his career, which pulled him into middle America and exposed him to not only the GE philosophy, but, you know, I argue in the book that there's no way Ronald Reagan was going to go and have much success going before small town chambers of commerce and Kiwanis clubs and telling them about his Hollywood liberal views. I mean, that was not going to sell. And so I think the audiences, and Reagan alluded to this, the audiences converted him as much as he was converting the audiences.
Mm, exactly. No, well said. What about his spirituality? Would you consider him spiritual and the influence that maybe Nancy had on that?
Yeah, I don't know about Nancy's influence on that, but yes, Reagan, you know, Reagan, especially through his mother, who was a deeply spiritual woman, I think instilled in him his religious life. His father was a hard drinking Roman Catholic who haven't found much evidence that he was much of a church going man. His mother really was,
mm-hmm.
And when Reagan grew up, he was not a Catholic. He belonged to the Disciples of Christ, the Christian Church.
Mm-hmm.
And as well as I can tell, for at least the early part of his time in Hollywood, was an active member in his church.
Mm-hmm. Well, with Nancy, what you read and what I ascertained is that, I mean, she was like, I guess, his soulmate, for lack of a better word. I mean, they just really blended together, and here he had been married before and all this, but here he finds Nancy, and there was just something unique about that relationship and for his future.
Yeah, and I don't spend as much time on the book talking about the relationship with Nancy, but yes, I think that it was an incredible relationship. So much so that even the children sometimes talked about not being able to sort of pierce that close, tightly knit bond between this husband and wife, who were just so connected in every way, spiritually and in every other way.
Mm-hmm. Professor Mann, you in the book address the comparisons of one Ronald Reagan and our current president Donald Trump as opposites.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, I'm going to out myself to your audience. I'm not a big fan of Donald Trump.
It's okay.
And and I'm also going to confess that a lot of what I document in the book are some of, and at least in his early career, some of Reagan's struggles with accuracy, and not so much the truth, but, you know, Reagan was really interested in policy. He was really interested in talking about politics and all that, but he was not always careful, sometimes actually careless, and sharing information that someone had given to him. He didn't check it, so he'd repeat a story that someone would tell him, and it would turn out to be not true. And he did that throughout his, even into his presidency. Mm-hmm. But I compare him to Trump in that Reagan's mistakes were more of ones of omission. Reagan was careless. Reagan would wake up saying, "Oh, I want to tell you something that I don't really believe, or I want to tell you something that's not true." I don't think that Reagan was ever telling lies in the sense of I'm manufacturing information. He was just not careful always, and so I don't want to call them innocent, because I think he should have been more careful. He should have paid more attention to the details, but it wasn't a malicious kind of disinformation or misinformation.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting because when we're talking about politics, we know that politics has been stretched. It is loaded with hyperbole. Yeah. I think it's interesting that, gosh, I remember when I was growing up, it was really kind of rare. I mean, even though the rhetoric would get heated politically at times, very rarely did you hear about somebody being called a liar, much less the President of the United States. Today, it is like out of every other sentence that comes from the media, somebody's lying. Well, yeah. If somebody's lying, then what is the truth? And meanwhile, it is the body politic that has to increase their critical thinking and awareness and their consumerism of the political narrative, and to be a bit discerning to understand, you know, what is the truth? Is it perception, or, you know, what are we getting into here? Because in this information age in which we live in, we're so bombarded with information. It's like, okay, I mean, it's like you have to have filters up to really be able to, let them go through to figure out, okay, is this really viable? Is this credible? Or am I just getting rhetoric? Because, man, it's flying around, and here we are going into the 2020 elections, and it's no holds barred.
Yeah. And I think that Reagan, to me, the thing that Reagan did that I think is undeniable is that he spoke at least what he believed, and a lot of people around him and in the conservative movement believed were truths. Now, whether he was always accurate is another question, but I think there's a difference between truth and accuracy, and Reagan was speaking his truth, what he believed, that these values that he cared deeply about throughout his career and through his presidency, and he was consistent in those values, I think, from the early 50s on. I think that was his success. That was his marvelous ability, was to communicate truths in an accessible, relatable, eloquent, sincere way to people. Mm-hmm. He didn't always nail the facts down, but right. There was no doubt that he was communicating his values very effectively.
Yeah, that goes back to what we talked about earlier. Ronald Reagan, as we know, started out as a Democrat. He made the statement that a lot of Democrats are saying these days, and that is that he didn't leave the party. The party left him.
Yeah, and I quibble with that a little bit in Reagan's view, because I do think he did leave the Democratic Party. I think he was pulled away from it by the forces that were going on in his life in the 1950s. And even until his presidency, he still deeply admired Franklin Roosevelt. Maybe not his policies, but the person of Roosevelt, his ability to persuade and communicate. And it's also, by the way, what I as someone more on the liberal side admire so much about Reagan was his ability to very effectively communicate his values, and that he truly believed what he believed, and yeah, that he wasn't posing. He really believed these things.
Well, and going back to accuracy, and we touched on this earlier about that infamous 1964 televised Barry Goldwater speech. You said that much of what he had to say in that speech was factually deficient.
Yeah, but it did not diminish the effectiveness of it, and it showed so many Republicans around the country that I think we've nominated the wrong guy. Maybe this guy ought to be our nominee.
Right. It's all a matter of timing, isn't it?
It is. Oh, indeed.
Without a doubt. Well, congratulations on the book, available at all the usual places, I gather, of course.
Yes, indeed.
And we'll link it on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. And you want to give a website for the book?
Yeah, just BecomingRonaldReagan.com.
That is the name of the book, Becoming Ronald Reagan, The Rise of the Conservative Icon, Professor Robert Mann here on Bill Martinez Live. Professor, thank you so much for the time. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Bill.
Have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
You've heard it said, you don't know what you've been missing. Well, when it comes to nutritional components in your diet, maybe you need to know what you've been missing, especially if you want to feel good, not miss work, and get the most of each day. Then you need the immune and growth factors in bovine colostrum. As a newborn, colostrum passes on immunity from our mothers, helps our body recognize when we're under attack, and fights all those nasty microbes that we're exposed to from birth. But the most important job colostrum does for newborns is seal our GI tract. Unfortunately, it doesn't stay sealed. Leaky gut affects 8 out of 10 people, passing undigested foods, germs, and toxins into our bloodstreams. It happened to me and caused unbelievable trauma to my immune system and gut. Fortunately, Sovereign Laboratories Colostrum LD can help. Taken daily as part of a healthy lifestyle, Colostrum LD can help you feel good every day. I feel great on this product. To learn more, go to PreventLeakyGut.com. That's PreventLeakyGut.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
A military exercise in Mississippi leaving 22 U.S. Army paratroopers injured. An Army official at Camp Shelby says they don't know what went wrong during that nighttime jump. The good news is none of the injuries are regarded as life-threatening. At least 17 people in America have now died from severe lung illnesses linked to vaping. The CDC says there are also over 800 other lung injury cases tied to vaping, and the Health and Human Services Chief Alex Azar says,
you do not know what toxins you are vaporizing and putting in your lungs. Listen, as a general health matter, don't put stuff in your lungs. It's not good for you.
First-time claims for jobless benefits last week hit 219,000. Approximately up around 4,000 from the previous week's revised total. This is USA Radio News.
Money, 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 money. You gotta have it. When you need it, what do? If you don't have a rich uncle, call LendingTree. With us, hundreds of banks compete for your business, so you'll get loans with competitive interest rates, and in some cases, with no closing costs. So here's the deal. If you need money, call us. Do you want to refinance your current loan? Are you 62 or older and interested in a reverse mortgage? Then call LendingTree now. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. We've closed over $250 billion in loans. We know what we're doing and can help you. Call right now for a free quote. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. That's 800-634-1315. NMLS number 1136.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live. Maybe it's
okay. We're coming back at you 28 minutes before the top of the hour, and as we discover ourselves all pretzeled in the midst of this whistleblower crash, I know you're saying, what happened? How did we get here? What's going on? Well, Brian Boyd joins us. He's a 30-year-plus professional intelligence analyst, counterterrorism specialist, former Green Beret. He was part of the leadership of the Joint Special Operations Command, which oversees the Special Forces SEAL Team 6 and Delta Force. Also served in the Department of Defense, Justice, and Treasury. Brian, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you very much. Nice to talk with you, Bill.
Well, good to be talking to you. Okay, we've got about 9 minutes here. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty. I mean, we're entangled in this wreckage here of the whistleblower. What the heck happened, Brian?
What happened? That's funny. all the years I spent in the intelligence business, anytime I had a major issue, I would typically, in fact, I had a boss at one time that gave me a hard time. I went over his head to the director of that agency. I'm amazed that a whistleblower can remain anonymous with an issue that claims to be of this high level. Second of all, I don't buy into the fact that this person had firsthand knowledge.
Well, it's clear he didn't, based on the document that he submitted, right?
That's correct. That's correct. So I'm wondering, why is there any credence given to it?
Well, you can thank the Inspector General. The Inspector General changed the rules.
I know. And that's what's funny. I spoke to another radio station. Think of it this way. If you had some rumor going around your office at a radio station, secondhand, thirdhand, then they call the news media on you or they call someone else and destroyed your reputation and you have no way of confronting your accuser, I don't think that's even constitutional, much less fair.
Yeah, but that's being done all the time. The cancel culture has been very effective. I mean, they tried to do it with Kavanaugh, but at varying levels. I mean, we got kids on college campuses that are being canceled based because, you know, some former girlfriend decides, hey, there's no joy. And, you know, she throws a hashtag on his head and his college career is compromised. I mean, we hear, you know, too many stories like this that it's taken place or like a little girl who claims that these white boys, you know, held her down and cut her cornrows off. And then you find out later that she made the story up. I mean, all these hoaxes are, you know, it's like we have created a ripe, fertilized ground for all this kind of BS that's going out there. And meanwhile, we're the effect of it. And in the court of public opinion, we're being overwhelmed with all this stuff. And as we are right now, and as you find out with Michael Atkinson, who is the inspector general for the intelligence community, you realize in further study, this is what we love about due process, is that it does give you some opportunity to, you know, get the facts here. And we realize, I mean, when I first read about him, Ryan, I got to tell you, I was thinking, okay, well, he has this high sensitivity towards the whistleblower. But what they didn't tell you was his association with the likes of Robert Mueller, Peter Stroke, and the cabal of the FBI, which is all part of the genesis of the Russian hoax.
Amen. I think we've lost our moral compass. Would you agree?
Well, to say the least, we've lost the moral compass, and this is just another chapter in the book of what happens when you lose your moral compass.
Yeah, I find it utterly amazing. Throughout the years that I worked for Justice, Treasury, and Defense, I sat in on a lot of high-level decision-making. So I briefed the directors of some of these agencies, some of the commanders. And I always was accepted because I had a high level of integrity, and my entire staff of analysts had integrity. And we knew that if we passed intelligence forward, especially if soldiers, sailors, or special agents are going to be committed to a life-threatening situation, we knew the consequences of giving bad information or misleading or incomplete information. And so having retired, I'm appalled to see this kind of stuff being passed forward. And I'm wondering where in the process is the integrity.
Right. You know? Well, when politics trumps truth, this is what you have, right? I mean, I don't know that you would survive in the community today because you have too much integrity. This would be, you would be constantly hearing the sound of chalk on the chalkboard going in the wrong direction. I think that would drive me nuts.
Amen on that. I understand that very clearly. Several years ago, I started a scout troop where I live. I have two daughters and son-in-law, all of which have served. I started a scout troop, and one of the big problems now is they're allowing girls into Boy Scouts. Now, whether that's a good or a bad decision, now I'm thinking, my golly, 30 years from now, some lady's going to complain about an 11-year-old girl kissing an 11-year-old boy at a camping trip.
Right.
So I'm thinking, my golly, you know, where's our morality there? I don't even want to get anywhere near that problem.
Well, it's a forced deal because, you know, as well as I do, Brian, you know, boys need, they need their time. And there's things that only boys can understand and relate to, just as there are girls. There's nothing wrong with separation. It is important. We've lived under this tradition for a long time. I believe it's paid grave dividends, but we're overreacting to this gender sensitivity that wants to deny that there is a difference. You know, the differences are there, they're real, they're for a reason, and if we identify those properly and in a healthy way, male and female, whether it's boys or girls, I believe it serves the community well and it serves those participants well. And they're being denied that process.
I agree. And I think when decisions are made like that, I asked why that even came about. There was no discussion among the Boy Scouts. It was made by a small group of people, made a political decision. And I'm telling you, the hue and cry throughout the country and some of the Scouts, they're appalled at it because they had no say in the process. And I said,
exactly.
Well, why'd they even do it? Well, Girl Scouts was suffering. They weren't growing. So, well, why don't you just advertise better for the Girl Scouts? You don't
yeah.
just blend them. I don't know. It's a parallel.
It's because they charge too much for their cookies. That's what happened now, you see. They started raising the price of the cookies and then messed up the whole program. But, you know, Brian, seriously, on the other side, you know, I was interviewing somebody here earlier this year, and what's happening is you've got these splinter groups that realize that there needs to be that difference, and they're doing their own thing away from, you know, the traditions of the Boy Scouts.
Yeah. If you want to shift back to this whistleblower thing.
Yes, please. Go ahead.
I made a comment the other day on another radio station, and they said, well, where do you think this is going to go? You know as well as I do that if a Better Business Bureau complaint is levied against you or you get a consumer complaint by the state attorney generals, anytime those complaints are levied against you as a manager or a business owner, you're given a copy of the complaint so that you can respond to it in writing. Okay,
right.
I've been down that road. In this particular case, what really bothers me is the unfairness of the process. Now, I'm not going to say pro or con about Trump or the Democrats, but the point is this. It's unfair on the face of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have an issue, there should be due process, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not able to be in a court, I said the other night, if I was accused like this, I would want to be in a hearing, a public hearing, where the public can watch it on TV. What's bothered me now is this hearing that's being set up by Schiff is not even a fair process for the public to see either before or behind closed doors.
Right.
The GOP is not being allowed even in the inquiry. Then you look back and say, well, why is the Intelligence Committee? They have no jurisdiction. And they're making a circus of it because the jurisdiction has got to go through a process before the impeachment, so it's an impeachment show. There's no actual offense.
Well, again, in the spirit of invalidation, which the Democrats have perfected, they're like 10-degree black belts, it has evolved into the cancel culture. And what is all driving this, we got to go back to what Al Green said, the Texas congressman. We cannot beat him at the ballot box. He must be impeached. This is all about impeachment solely and myopically, and people need to see and make sure they understand who their congressman, man or woman, is and who's doing this kind of damage to this country, and how much resources and money they're wasting in chasing this impeachment ghost. Brian, we appreciate you being on the air with us. Brian Boyd on Bill Martinez Live.
Are you prepared for the upcoming season? Get immune support you can really count on. Quantum Nutrition Labs has three key players for optimal immune support on special. One-of-a-kind, all-natural, vegan vitamin D3 and K2. Garlic Complex with its high, concentrated amounts of allicin. And all-natural, plant-sourced vitamin C. Buy two bottles, get the third one free. Call 888-588-7578. That's 888-588-7578. 7578, or visit us online at qnlabs.com. That's qnlabs.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bob Marshall, PhD, host of Healthline. Tune in to get your questions answered and hear the latest breakthrough information for you and your family. Our product line, Quantum Nutrition Labs, delivers what others only promise, nutrition that really works.
Over the years, there have been so many people who have suffered from not having life insurance. It's not that they didn't care about protecting their loved ones. It's just that they didn't know why it's so important. If you died, how would your family pay the bills, the mortgage, let alone plan for a better future? This is what life insurance is all about. Providing for your family, even after you're gone. And level term coverage is the best option. It's not expensive, and it's not complicated. You need 10 to 12 times your income in life insurance protection, and you need to call ReliaQuote. They represent 15 of the top life insurance providers, and their agents are experts at helping you find the right policy for your needs. Protect your family. Give ReliaQuote a call. Carl for a free, no-hassle quote now.
800-478-0793. 800-478-0793. 800-478-0793. That's 800-478-0793.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
These are the sounds of someone taking their eyes off the road. Texting while driving is more than distracting. It's dangerous. Do yourself a favor. Do us all a favor. When you're on the road, stay off the phone. A message from CTIA.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What more could you want? Bill Martinez live.
14 minutes before the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Good to have you along with us. And we've got the number one New York Times best-selling author of Red Wave, Vince Flynn, Lethal Agent, a Mitch Rapp novel by Kyle Mills. And Kyle's on the phone with us right now. Kyle, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Well, congratulations on the book. Another thriller here. And, you know, it's very plausible when you think about what could happen in the United States, especially when you talk about a toxic presidential election underway. And we seem to be heading again in that kind of toxic environment and, you know, the things that potentially could happen. So you've got a great background for drama and to be the impetus and the layer for Lethal Agent.
Yeah, I initially, when I wrote this book, kind of wanted to completely stay away from politics. But, you know, having a political landscape in a book that was everybody, I don't know, smiling and smoking cigars and slapping each other on the back didn't seem very realistic.
Mm-hmm.
So I created this really contentious presidential campaign as kind of a background for the story, which is actually about an ISIS group trying to smuggle in a biological weapon through Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Well, and again, the plausibility is there, and that is with, as we know, and this has happened in real life, like with Spain, you're busy taking care of political business, and then all of a sudden you got a bombing that takes place, and the whole political landscape gets turned on its head, right?
Yeah, you know, it's not what people are focused on, certainly not what our politicians and the government is focused on right now, is the idea that you'd have a major threat coming in. Everybody seems to be focused on trying to maintain their own power or grow it.
Mm-hmm. Well, Kyle Mills is the number one New York Times bestselling author of 19 political thrillers. You said you want to stay away from thriller, but you do have that influence and connection with the political thrillers, including Red War for Vince Flynn and the Patriots Attack for Robert Ludlum. You initially found inspiration, I understand, from your father, right?
Yeah. Yeah, my father was an FBI agent most of his life and later became the legal attaché to the United Kingdom and the director of Interpol. So I kind of grew up in that world with, you know, MI6 and MI5 and CIA and spec ops guys, FBI, all around me. So I'd hear those stories and I meet these larger than life characters and now I can kind of bring them to life.
Well, as you're, you know, growing up with these, as you say, larger than life characters, and then, you know, that really helps form a worldview. So you probably look at what news a little bit different than most of us.
Yeah, probably. I think I always think of it as the things that people talked about when I was young, you know, which was much more practical stuff. You know, it wasn't really about political parties or, you know, gaining ground like that. It was very much about the protection. What's the best way to protect the United States from this or that? It was always a practical question.
Kyle, let's talk a little bit about this transition. I mean, you took over for, you know, for Vince Flynn, since his unexpected passing. I mean, what was that like for you? I mean, to pick up the baton of, you know, really an established brand. You know, I mean, the whole Mitch Rapp series sold more than 50 million books. You've authored the last four, reaching number one, as I mentioned earlier, on the New York Times bestseller list last year with Red War. I mean, this has to, you got to have some sort of special connection and honor because of, you know, what you've got your hands on here.
Yeah, you know, I had been a fan. So I'd been reading Vince since he started out. We actually started around the same time. So I was really familiar with the character and I loved the character. And then when Vince passed away, it was really devastating. He was very young, certainly at the height of his talent. And kind of selfishly, I thought, well, I hope they find somebody to continue that because, you know, I'd hate to see, you know, the character die too.
Right.
And a few days later, they called me and asked me if I wanted to be the guy who did it.
Wow. Did you put any feelers out, or did they just?
No, not at all.
They just came instinctively. See, you put it out in the universe, saying, "Hey, it'd be nice, maybe." And all of a sudden, they come to you and say, "Hey, how about if you pick up the mantle here, huh?"
Yeah, a bit of karma, I guess. Right. But I mean, it was a very nerve wracking thing to do because it was, you know, such a popular character and series, and it had so many books behind it and such a complex universe.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to get it right because, you know, I think the fans would have been pretty infuriated, like I would have been if I didn't.
So that must have put you into a lot of research in the background and stuff like that, because you've got Vince Flynn who's, you know, he understands the nuance, he created it, all this. This is all a woof and warf, part of his psychology and everything. And maybe what you thought you knew as a fan and as a reader, a little bit different than actually putting yourself into Vince Flynn's skin, so to speak.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like I said, I'd read those books over the years, so I had a broad understanding of what was going on and who the people were and everything. But, you know, I couldn't tell you, you know, what was the first gun that she used, you know, when he first got into the CIA or things like that. And exactly what the arc of the character was and what had happened to him, what had affected him. So I had to go back and reread all the books in order, which is a lot. It's 6,512 pages, I still remember.
You still remember the number. That's great.
Yeah, it was a lot to sit down and just read 8 hours a day. And I took like 150 pages of notes.
Mm-hmm.
So I could, you know, really get that first book right.
Well, I imagine a lot of pressure on the first book. This is the fourth one. So you're pretty much in the rhythm now.
Yeah, much more so. You know, that first book was really difficult, but I've gotten a little more used to it. I've gotten to know a lot of his fans, so I have a much better sense of what they want. They give me feedback, and I kind of incorporate all that into my writing.
Mm-hmm. And when the book is presented, I mean, I noticed the cover. I mean, Vince Flynn, his name is as big as the title. So you're still honoring Vince Flynn and the brand and, you know, the characters that that he developed over the years.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, he created this iconic character, which is an incredibly hard thing to do, and a character that people wanted to live, to continue to live. Mm-hmm. After his death, and I think that's probably the greatest compliment to a writer, that you create a feels so real that he's important to people.
Well, and even more so when there is another writer who can pick up the mantle and extend it like you have. What is it about Mitch Rapp as a character that people are attracted to?
You know, it's a really interesting question. I don't know that I've ever been able to put my finger on one thing. You know, he's a hard-charging guy who knows what's right and pursues it at all costs. And also, you've got this guy you've known since college. He feels, the way Vince wrote him, and I've continued to write him, he feels very real. You know, he evolves over time. He gets older. Things happen to him. It's taken into his worldview. So, I mean, for me, when I was a fan, you know, it was like visiting an old friend once a year. You got to see what he was doing. And he was a particularly interesting old friend.
What do you want the readers to get from this this story?
This book, you know, I really wanted to write a very classic-feeling Mitch Rapp thriller. With Red War, which is the previous book, I colored a little outside the lines. It was a little bit of a different setup than Vince had used in the past because Russia was involved. But this book, I want this book to take people back to, you know, the classic books like Transfer of Power or Consent to Kill, and really get that very classic Mitch Rapp feeling from it. It's basically about Mitch kicking butt and taking names,
right,
which is a lot of fun.
Right, exactly. Well, as I said as part of the introduction, we're considering a toxic presidential election. And in that backdrop, if that is underway, America is already badly weakened, you write, by internal divisions, much like what we have today, nothing different. So while politicians focus entirely on maintaining their own power and privilege, ISIS, I thought they were gone, but they're back, kidnaps a brilliant French microbiologist and forces him to begin manufacturing anthrax, slickly produced videos chronicling his progress and threatening an imminent attack are posted to the internet, intensifying the hysteria gripping the United States. Again, quite plausible.
Yeah, and you know, an interesting take on ISIS, because in my book, ISIS is down to very few people because they've been mostly wiped out, and they're kind of getting back into the terrorism business, which is not killing people or trying to hold land, but actually trying to terrorize people. Right. You know, we have media platforms that are a huge megaphone for that. So they want to create an environment which America's own internal divisions destroy us. Because really, the only people powerful enough to destroy America are the American people. So they want to manipulate them into doing that.
Exactly.
And, I think, you know, on today's world stage, it's plausible. Certainly Russia's doing a good job of it.
Well, we have a lot of existential threats and forces coming at us, whether it's China, Iran, Russia. I mean, hey, you know, that could be the next chapter or the next book. Do something with China, especially with all that they're doing in the South Pacific seas with their islands that they're creating and that. But there's politics and news, the news cycles being what they are, you've got plenty to work with, right?
Unfortunately, it never, you know, you always think, well, there's nothing new under the sun. And then, like you said, I mean, 20 years ago, if you'd have said, yeah, you know, China's going to start building islands, people would have laughed at you.
Exactly.
So unfortunately for the world, but fortunately for thriller writers, there's always some new threat out there.
Well, Kyle Mills is presenting another page turner for us to enjoy. New York Times bestselling author of Red War. It's part of the Vince Flynn series. Is his legacy continues. Thank you very much, Kyle Mills. And this one, Lethal Agent, a Mitch Rapp novel. Kyle, thank you so much for being with us. Appreciate it.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Do the letters IRS.